Live and coming to you from the live on Facebook. And coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Dean Show. Yay! This is episode 74. Yay! Woo! Of the show, very happy to say. Before I get started on introductions, I want to do my usual speaking only for myself. My show does not endorse Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they are crooks, nor the billing department at Tower Urology because they are crooked as well. And that being said, moving on, we want to welcome back Kathy St. George. Yay, Kathy. She's been gone for over a month all over the fabulous United Nations and islands south. Dennis Alston's here with us today. Sammy Jr., our producer, hey. We also want to give a big shout-out to Zach Herndon in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach. What was I going to say? Oh, because he is website coordinator and original staff member. Today we are welcoming Nicole Fedor Summerfield and her father, John Fedor. Yay! Welcome. Okay, before I forget, I will be performing, those of you that are watching live on Facebook, I will be at the Haha Club tonight. That's Monday, June 3rd, tonight, with the Grab the Mic comedy gang. It's going to be a great show. Doors open at 8. Show starts at 8:30. Please come on out, get off your asses, and come on down to the show. And let's see, any other than that? I don't think there's any other news that we'll report during the way. Nicole is going to say that this isn't the truth, but Nicole is my first friend on August 4th, 2004, when I cruised into L.A. in my Buick Roadmaster station wagon with the U-Haul on the back. It was actually August 5th we met.
Okay.
Yes. And my car was still in the U-Haul, and I go, "Hi, I'm your new neighbor, Bob Dean from Nashville, Tennessee." And she went, "Ugh."
It's totally not true.
Nicole lived downstairs. Those of you that have been to the fabulous Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktails Foray at my dingy stoner pad, Nicole lived in the little, her adorable little efficiency apartment at the time downstairs. And it was a match made in heaven. We were like brother and sister. We were together all the time because it was just like living in the same apartment with an outdoor staircase until she got her first iPhone. Then it was all downhill. I didn't even know what an iPhone was, and Nicole got the first one. And we used to sit and we'd cook dinners and watch movies and take walks and go to Blockbuster when it was still there and get videos and, you know, have a wonderful time. And then one day she comes in with this pink square thing, and all she did was... I lost her forever.
I'm here now?
I know, but it's true, though. You were a text-o-rama.
Progress.
Yeah, kids today. And John, her dad from York.
York, Pennsylvania.
York, Pennsylvania. Miss Marianne Fedor. Hi, Marianne. Hope you're watching on Facebook. And Ben Summerfield, Nicole's fabulous husband. They're down in Long Beach. And so, John, I'm so happy to see you. I met you and your lovely wife several years ago when you came to visit your daughter. And we became fast friends, and you were at the Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Wow. But you always call on Christmas Eve. Uh-huh. And the Christmas Eve before last is when I had just gotten that new car, and Nicole and I were sitting outside in the car talking when you called, and I go, "Oh, it's your dad." And she's like, "What is my dad?" I'm like, "He calls me every Christmas Eve." So how's it going, buddy?
Well, I'm here for a purpose.
Uh-oh, what could that be?
Oh, little do you know, besides I'm Nicole's father, I'm the exalted hibernator of the York Slumbering Groundhog Lodge.
Wait, say that again, please. And you are, please repeat that entire sentence. You are the
exalted hibernator of the York Slumbering Groundhog Lodge.
And this is when I crawl under the table.
Well, tell us what that means.
That means every February 2nd, my family disowns me. Now, just to set things straight, we are the third oldest groundhog lodge in the nation. Punxsutawney Phil is the first. Of course, it's up in Punxsutawney, up in north central part of Pennsylvania in the mountains, okay, Jefferson County. But we're the third oldest. The second oldest is Octorara Orphy. Now, Octorara is a township in southern Lancaster County, which is just across the river from York County, the Susquehanna River,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they're the second oldest. And we are the third. Now, we have our groundhog. His name is Poor Richard. But he's been dead for 23 years. So we have what's called a grand communicator. And he communicates every Groundhog Day early in the morning. He communicates with Poor Richard up in Hog Heaven. Don't laugh. This is true.
I believe it.
And up in Hog Heaven. So when we get the prognostication, we get it directly from Hog Heaven. We don't have to worry about the shadows, you know, if the groundhog saw a shadow or not. Our groundhog has been dead for 23 years, so, and we've been doing really good. We have over an 88% correct rating as far as determining the weather situation for the 6 weeks.
88%?
88% correct.
It's a dead groundhog.
Well, I was just the dead groundhog is communicating. Poor Richard communicates with who?
With our grand communicator. His name is George Skip Lehman.
Who used
to be the grand communicator. And when I was a grand communicator, they asked me how I communicate with them. And I told them, Gmail. Groundhog mail. That was before Google ever even thought about it.
What do you have with you today, John?
Well, what I have with me is the morning agenda of the York Slumbering Groundhog Lodge. Okay.
Now, do you wear like groundhog style caps or anything?
Well, we wear white gowns, white, if you want to call it.
No hoodies, though, right?
No hoodie. Top hats.
Just checking.
I wear a white top hat, and everyone else wears black top hats.
Really?
Okay, and we have our insignia on our gown, and we made meet the first, the second of February every year.
Just once a year.
At 7:15 in the morning, we have the groundhog services. We have a proclamation. We have a prayer, opening ode, a memorial poem, and then the groundhog. We initiate new members. They're groundhog babies. Now, they have a baby bonnet. They have a bib with a picture of a groundhog on.
And after we're talking about adult males.
After we initiate them and females.
Okay, and females.
They must bend over and kiss their dead groundhog. We have them stuffed.
I was going to ask.
No tongues either. Anyway, these groundhog babies.
We are so flying to York next February.
These groundhog babies are initiated, and then they kiss them. Then they do the obligation pledge, the groundhog creed, and the kissing of the Richard. But then we have four squad reports, north, south, east, and west squads, report what they went out to look at and see if they've seen any groundhogs and what's going on. Some say it's all done in prose. Okay. So, and then after that, we have the official prognostication by me. And then we have the closing ode. And our proclamation, if you want me to read it, I'd be happy to read it.
See? The proclamation of the
Slumbering Groundhog Lodge.
York Slumbering Groundhog Lodge.
Okay. Our persistent search for knowledge has prompted us to assemble annually at the Lodge of the Slumbering Groundhog to hear the revelation from the spirit of Poor Richard regarding the description of the weather from this date until 6 weeks hence. Poor Richard has not failed to communicate with this conclave, for lo, these many years, 91 years, okay, to be exact. And although his prognostication has been very difficult to decipher by the commoners, the aristocracy of the lodge has found no problem comprehending the elation and warmth of camaraderie found there. The squad leaders of the four territories have assisted quite capably in their diligent search for the county for other woodlands creatures who would proclaim the veracity of Poor Richard's prognostication. The spirit of Poor Richard has stated quite sagaciously that winter chill invaded us and hung in there tenaciously. This caused the hibernating marmots to awaken voraciously, not to mention that the pent-up energies caused a fury animal to behave somewhat fallaciously. The urge to satisfy one's cravings must be controlled emphatically. To offer wise counsel and prognosticate dramatically, so all must read the calendar to learn that systematically, winter demise will not surprise our yearnings mathematically. Now, the official opening prayer, if anyone believes in...
Wait, I want to take a break for a second and ask you this. Groundhog Day. Now, did this originate with this society? What do we know about the origin of going to the groundhog coming out 6 more weeks of winter if he sees a shadow? Where did that all start? Can they tell us?
That was in Germany a long time ago with the winter solstice. And I have that here somewhere. What I'm really here for is to honor you.
Me?
Yes. I want you to be an official groundhogger.
Okay? I'd be honored.
Now there's some things you're going to have to do. Okay. First of all, I have here our 90th anniversary slumbering groundhog card for you.
Thank you very much. 90th York, PA, slumbering groundhog lodge member, Bob Dean.
Yeah. Well, not yet.
Oh, not yet. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I've been presented with a card.
Unofficially.
Okay. Unofficially.
Okay. Yep. And then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take the creed. Obligation, and you're going to have to repeat after me. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
I believe in the wisdom of the groundhog.
I believe in the wisdom of the groundhog.
I believe his intelligence.
I believe his intelligence.
To be of a higher order.
To be of a higher order.
Than that of any other animal.
Than that of any other animal.
From the tick of the blackberry.
From the tick of the blackberry.
To the elephant of the jungle.
To the elephant of the jungle.
I rejoice that he can and does.
I rejoice that he can and does
foretell with absolute accuracy.
Foretell with absolute accuracy
the weather conditions.
The weather conditions
for the 6 weeks.
For the 6 weeks
following each second day of February.
Following each second day of February.
To defend him.
To defend him.
His family.
His family.
And his reputation.
And his reputation.
I pledge myself.
I pledge myself.
I welcome him to my fields.
I welcome him to my fields.
I would stay the hand of the man.
I would stay the hand of the man.
Who would excite.
Who would excite.
And ruffle his temper.
And ruffle his temper.
Or slay him.
Or slay him.
To defend him with all my might.
To defend him with all my might.
And at all hazards.
And at all hazards.
I pledge myself.
I pledge myself.
To my manservants.
To my manservants.
And my maidservants.
And my maidservants.
My oxen.
My oxen.
And my asses.
And my asses.
And my assets as a whole.
And my assets as a whole.
So help me.
So help me.
Now, you can repeat with me the Groundhog Creed. I expect to pass through this world but once.
What, together?
Yes.
I expect to pass through this world but once.
Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to my fellow creatures,
let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
Well, since we don't have our dead groundhog that's been stuffed here, okay.
No. I'm honored. Is this him here?
Can I
kiss the paper?
Kiss the picture of it.
You can kiss this koozie right here with
for
Richard
koozie.
On.
Kiss that koozie.
There he goes.
Yay! Thank you.
You're
I
now
am
an
honored.
official member of the York Slumbering Groundhog Lodge.
Thank you. Founded in 1928. I, honest to God, awesome. Flattered. Thank you.
And no way. Aren't you glad you live in Los Angeles?
I was going to say.
Because this is what's going on in the rest of the country, boys and girls.
I'm looking for a sloth lodge. I'm really good at that.
Well, they're kind of cute.
Now, a little known fact.
Slumbering sloth.
Okay, where our creed came from. Okay?
I love it.
This creed is actually a quote from the French-American religious leader, Stephen Grillet. Born in 1773 and died in 1855. He said, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, I can do, or any kindness I can show to any creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer it, for I shall not pass this way again. Of course, our Groundhog Creed reads, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to my fellow creatures, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. So you see, our lodge has used the wisdom of the groundhog and Stephen Grillet since the late 1700s to profess to the world that the creed of our lodge. No other groundhog lodge can boast of this type of accomplishment. No other lodge can bring forth the wisdom of Poor Richard. This is why our lodge has a memorial poem as an ode to Poor Richard. And the ode to Poor Richard is, somewhere beyond the sunset, where friendship never dies, you live in the land of glory, with the blue and gold of the skies. We who have shared your fellowship will carry on your happy ways, promote the spirit of brotherly love, and cherish your memories always.
Lovely. Lovely. That's actually very cool, because... Now, I know that you and your lovely wife, Marianne, are lovers of animals. And this includes all animals, not just groundhogs, right? And, of course, your daughter, Nicole, and her husband, Ben, you got friggin' animal farm over there.
I do.
Within your beautiful new condo in Long Beach, but with dogs and cats and whatever else.
Fish and frogs.
And fish and frogs, yeah. And then, you know, with me and us and fostering and that sort of thing, I mean, you know. And, of course, you and Maybelline. Oh, Maybelline's...
I used to have a pet squirrel, and I had a pet
But
alligator.
Thank you, John. I'm very
I'm going to give that to you. So yeah, every Groundhog Day, you can review it.
Well, I'll just call in, because I live in the concrete jungle. I don't know where the hell I'd find... Maybe over in Stoner Park, I could find a hole. So let me...
You don't have to. Poor Richard up in Hog Heaven.
But let me ask you this, though. Poor Richard, what's a groundhog's life expectancy, do we know?
No.
I mean, who found Poor Richard? Was he, like, did he... Did they have to go down the hole to find him, or did he come up and pass away? I mean, with all due respect to Poor Richard.
I don't know. You did hear that 2 years ago I was electrocuted.
Well, I was going to get to that. I was hoping that you'd bring it up so I wouldn't have to ask. Mm-hmm. Because you were electrocuted at an RV show.
Yeah.
I went into cardiac
arrest.
They thought it was a heart attack, right?
Well, they didn't know what it was, but it was cardiac arrest. I was dead. And my wife, who knew CPR, she came out. I was thrown around 7 feet.
No kidding. Okay, well, set the setting for us. You're at an RV show.
Okay, it's raining. It's pouring. We have our umbrellas.
Outdoor show.
I ended up in Hershey. It's the largest RV show in the East. And it was pouring rain. I had my boat shoes on, no socks, and they were soaking wet already. My umbrella is soaking wet. It stopped raining. It stopped for a while. So we were looking at RVs. And my wife went inside this RV with the salesman, talked to him about something. And I went around the bottom front of it and around the side, came around the back. And I don't know if you're familiar with these metal ramps that they put the wires, the cables underneath, so you don't trip over them.
Mm-hmm.
I went up on that, and I put my wet umbrella down because I have a stability problem with my walking. And all of a sudden, I felt heat and vibration coming at me from the left.
Mm.
I turned to look to see what it was, and that's the last I know. I was thrown about 7 feet. I was dead, purple, gurgling, wet myself. I was dead. And someone hollered, "Hey, man down out here." And my wife went to the door with the salesman. It was me. And she immediately came down and started CPR. And then another lady came along and helped her with the compressions while she did the breathing. And the salesman, he got on his golf cart to go get the EMTs, which were worthless. They were in line for lunch. It was around 11:45 when this happened. They didn't want to come out of line. Another fella called an ambulance. The ambulance got there before the EMTs. Anyway, by that time, she had revived me. So I tell that story on our dinner on February 2nd in the evening in the Groundhog Lodge. And this Groundhog Lodge is at the Elks Lodge in York. Okay? There's no other Elks Lodge that has a Groundhog Lodge anywhere. And anyway, she revived me. And so that dinner meeting, I told everybody what I'm telling you now. And I said, I was dead. I was on my way to the pearly gates. And all of a sudden, a roadblock, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of groundhogs. And there was poor Richard.
I was going to ask you if you saw Richard.
And poor Richard comes up to me and says, Exalted Hibernator John, turn around and go back. I need you February 2nd. Well, the crowd roared.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
Now, can I ask you a question? Because I read a book about this, about being, because I believe it, I lived on a lake, and this guy got electrocuted a few times. I actually got struck by lightning a few times. Did you have any side effects or any effects afterwards, or did you just...
Well, actually, it was a godsend. I spent 6 days at Hershey Hospital, Hershey Medical Center, which is a Penn State affiliate, and they found that I had 100% blockage in one of my arteries. But there was three auxiliary arteries that grew around it.
What?
So they said that would never cause a heart attack.
Wow. Wait a minute.
He grew new arteries.
The other artery was only a 40% blockage, and they just give me medication for that.
You had 100% blockage in one of your arteries, but new arteries grew around it.
Yep. Wow, that's amazing.
That's kind of like...
That doesn't happen very often, does it?
Well, it does happen, though.
That's amazing. Well, because you have had heart issues, you know.
Not blockages. Rhythm issues. Yeah.
Rhythm issues. That's cucamonga.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a case study kind of thing. I remember when you had that once, your mom, she's such a sweetheart.
I have a chip in my chest right now. It's not a defibrillator. It's not a pacemaker. It's a chip. In fact, tomorrow morning, I have to take this, looks like a telephone. I have to press the button, and then the screen lights up, and it tells me to lift this phone up and put it against my chest, and then it starts reading all the stuff that...
Is it your own phone, or is it a special device?
It's a special phone. Mm-hmm. And
wow,
it
technology.
It reads everything that's on that chip for the month, and then tells me to put it back down, then it actually transfers via phone to Hershey Medical Center. Once a month, I do that. Now, it's only good for 3 years, so next year, probably before September, I'll have to have it removed. But I didn't have a heart attack. If I had a heart attack or anything, it would automatically send that notification to Hershey.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, I remember when Nicole called me and was telling me what happened. That's what they said. They were saying it was a heart attack, but she said, no, you were certain that you were electrocuted. That was before they had come to
conclusion. The rain dried up by the time... You know,
how long does Marianne tell you, or how long you were out? That, like, when she ever
really don't know.
CPR?
They don't know. It probably felt like an hour to my wife. To me,
I can't imagine.
Anything.
We were watching,
except those poor groundhogs up there in Hog Heaven.
We were watching Orange Is the New Black, which is like crack. We were just discussing, but there's a scene where, you know, they're doing something electrical, and the girl gets shocked and goes, and I was saying how on Miami Beach, there was a refrigerator in our apartment that something happened. It was ungrounded, and I touched it, and I didn't go flying, but I mean, it hurt, and I remember I probably went up 2 inches off the ground.
And I went all the way down to your toes in the back.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I've had it where I was stuck.
Well, I didn't feel that at all.
Really,
I was stuck to it. Yeah,
now we're talking about electrical stuff, Kathy.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, okay.
It was electrifying.
She ain't even trying.
I didn't feel that at all. I didn't know anything. God. It was just like a blackout. It threw me around 7 or 8 feet. So.
Wow. Well, we're glad that you're here to tell us about
it. I'm glad to be here. Thanks to my wife, my lovely wife.
What I was going to say is when Nicole had that one time, this is what, 10 years ago plus, when you had that surgery, you were at UCLA. And your mom and I, you know, we were waiting. And you know, your mom was just like lovely. We had lunch and we talked about everything under the sun and this and that, and then we went and we were waiting and I was kind of sitting there like falling asleep, and your mom was reading Reader's Digest or something, and I'll never forget, because when the doctor came out and he said, Mrs. Fedor, and your mother, it was just like the most living jack-in-the-box I've ever seen, because your mom was just like, la, la. And I was like, and she said it, and she went vroom and came down flat on her feet and turned around and, you know, was just waiting to hear about her baby. It, what I'm saying, it was very sweet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that was kind of like she looked like she'd been shocked too. She was like, boink, dude. So tell us about now. Yeah, you Nicole contacted me last night and she said, Dad wants to know where he can park because you have a 22 foot, he drives a 22 foot Ford truck. With your with a 5-wheel RV, which we used to call trailers,
fifth wheel,
excuse me, and that's the kind for those of you that have seen out on the interstate. It's those big ass glorious trucks with the beautiful RV on the back that hooks into the. Does that double as where you can stick an American flag when you're driving around too? That fifth wheel in the center.
You'd have to have a pretty thick pole.
Well, now that's a big ass truck. What do you, now you used to, you had a Navigator truck before that. What do they call that? The Navigator.
I had a Lincoln right. Mark LT.
Yeah. That was the Navigator truck.
Right. That was not Navigator. Navigator is their.
But I mean, it was the Navigator interior type, and all that type, with it. Yeah. Right. I mean, they were really cool. They were only around for a couple of years.
Oh.
Now this, what kind of is it? Diesel or regular gas?
This is diesel.
Diesel. And what do you get to the gallon in that thing when you're towing?
Well, this new RV I have is. The dry weight of it is 14,223 pounds. With everything put in it, I'm pulling around 16,000 to 17,000 pounds. Okay, and I'm
that's
getting
like a friggin' semi.
I'm getting about 8.5 gallons to the right now.
And what is the capacity?
8.5 miles to the gallon, I should say.
On the in on the expressway interstate.
On the way over from York to Pennsylvania.
What
to here.
Is what? What's your?
I normally
how
get around
tanks do you have?
15.
And what's your capacity?
Well,
how many
the capacity
gallons of fuel do you hold in that?
The
thing?
Capacity of the truck is 48 gallons, and I have an additional tank in there of 37 gallons into the bed, so I've got 85 gallons of fuel. It costs really a lot around here to fill it up.
Seriously, it's ridiculous. Yeah. What is it for a diesel around here? For it's regular gas. Regular gas is averages around $4. So, and for all of you in other parts of the world, we have no humidity and it's usually beautiful here all the time. So, go screw yourself on the gas prices. Because I know in Tennessee it's already 100 degrees with like 100% humidity. And it's just now June. What's it like, the weather like in Pennsylvania?
Well, right now it rained the last 2 days there. And it's going to be down to 40 tonight.
Where is your cold. Close to?
They've got a.
Harrisburg?
Okay, well, close to Harrisburg, which is our state capital, but we're also close to Baltimore. We're only 30 minutes drive to Baltimore, south on Interstate 83. Interstate 83 actually ends in downtown Baltimore.
Now, you know, I was born in now historic Levittown, Pennsylvania, and my father traveled all through blah, 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 but we used to go through that area all the time when we go to my grandmother's farm in Uniontown, Brownsville, outside of Uniontown. But I remember always. Now, what that big flood was 70.
McConnellsville, down by McConnellsville.
Yeah, that McConnellsville, Uniontown, Brownsville. My dad was from Uniontown. My mom was from Brownsville.
Yeah, we've camped down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like stepping back in
Ohio
time.
Ohio Pile the River.
Now, when was the big? When the what is the river that goes through there that you cross over on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and 3 Mile Island? You can see the 3 Mile Island from
that's
that.
That's the Susquehanna River.
Susquehanna.
They're closing 3 Mile Island down this fall.
Really? Well, isn't it the anniversary of the? Meltdown. That was 77 or 74?
79.
I can remember the day it happened. I worked retail at the time, and I was off that day. It was a Wednesday, and actually Nicole was playing in the backyard. She was about this big, and my wife was out there doing some flowering, and I was working in my garden when it happened.
Tell us about it. I mean, if you don't mind,
Nothing happened. I was working in retail, and I was working for people's drugstores at the time. So I had to stay because we had to stay open. And the one pharmacist, Philomena Pippin, she lived closer to 3 Mile Island. And she sent her family up to this Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area up there, Hazleton, where they were from originally, to get away from it. But she came down and stayed with us that night. Well, we went up there to get her stuff, and it was very eerie.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Everybody,
like, you guys were out in the yard flowering and all. I mean, but what did alarms go off? Or did it come over? The television. You know, the
they had sirens going off, but we didn't know what they were about at the time. And but it was very strange because, you know, when we went to go pick her up, all the lights were out and houses and everything. People had just taken off and gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we still had to open up the store and be there, you know, for anybody who stayed. We stayed. And I really believe that that the radiation caused Nicole's cancer. And my wife's breast cancer survivor also.
And, well, see, I'm glad you brought it up because
friend,
I think it's
Holly,
important to talk about, but I didn't want to bring it up until you guys did because I know you've had such issues with cancers and that sort of thing, and you told me a long time ago that you're firmly convinced it had to do with the Three Mile Island incident.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how about Holly and her thyroid problem, right?
There's a huge incidence of cancer in the York County area. And me personally, Dad fished that river, not knowing, you know, the effects of radiation years later. Right. We didn't know that back then,
sure,
what the effects were going
to
be.
Had a bull,
I grew up eating trout from that river.
Oh, yeah.
And
that fish carrier.
Three Mile Island has never been held responsible.
How can that be?
I don't know.
Isn't it the first nuclear plant in the country? Three Mile Island, wasn't it? Or one of the...
No, I don't think that was the first one.
That was 79, yeah.
It's they've got that miniseries or something on about Chernobyl, and it's like, because it was so far away, you don't realize how bad it was, and then all of a sudden
you don't see radiation, do you?
How bad it was, you know. It's,
I remember seeing a documentary about Chernobyl about this one guy that stayed, a farmer that stayed because somebody had to take care of the animals that were left, and it was, I don't even want to go into it. I cried for 3 days, but I don't know what to say about this.
When you're lost at words, that's something.
Seriously, I mean, honestly, it's just something that, you know, radiation. It's just crazy.
So many of
the counties or what does Three Mile Island? What are they going to do as far as if they close it down? What's the alternative energy going to be?
Three Mile Island is in Derry County. I think it's in Derry. Yeah, is it Derry County? Anyway, Lancaster County and York County is involved in it. Cumberland County. It was a pretty big radius of counties. That Lebanon County, very close.
Is it a privately owned?
Exxon. Exxon or Exelon or whatever.
And they've never been. I'm sure there had to be lawsuits and that sort of thing against them. But
nothing's ever.
Corporation. Squelch.
They couldn't prove it. So.
Well, there was a big
flood.
Just
like I can't prove I was electrocuted.
Mm. You know what? You'd be surprised. A lot of times they can prove it. It's just there's money.
Exactly.
Money talks.
Yeah.
You know? Mm.
Well, there was a huge flood there in, what, 74? The Susquehanna flooded? In
72.
72. It was Scranton-Wilkesboro area, right?
Yes.
Because I remember my father taking us through. We were going on a business trip with my dad. You know, he would take us sometimes. And driving through that area. And I remember as a child seeing, it was right after, and there were like refrigerators and furniture up in trees and that sort of thing.
I can tell you a story. My aunt and uncle, Joseph and Jean Sobeck, and their two children, they lived in South Wilkes-Barre. And I would say it was around maybe 5 blocks away from the river. And they evacuated, and the whistles blew at around 12 midnight that it was going over the banks of the river. And they have this soffit in their kitchen with a clock on the top, one of those battery-operated clocks. At 12:15, that clock stopped because the water got and filled that house that fast.
That fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
They lost their house.
Well, you know, everybody knows the story about, and Nicole, I can't tell you what she did to help me through that.
We were in Lancaster then.
But that's how fast it happens. I have a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention any names on the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Hey.
But a friend of mine, he and his wife, because he's passed away now, but he and his wife and son, they had a house on the Cumberland River. But, I mean, the bank was, how many yards straight down? And then the house is here, and then the driveway went up like this. And the water was coming up so quick that, he got his family up to the end of the driveway, and then he went back in to get a guitar that was in his back room or whatever, and he got he waded through the water, he got back, and by the time he turned around, he literally had to claw himself out by holding onto the ceiling to get out the front door and swim up to the street. But yeah, that's what my friends were telling me, because the natural flood started during the day, and they were like, it just started off. Whatever, the kids were out playing in the streets because they thought it was cute that the water was, and then everybody was like, well, what do we do? It's just going, and then they started panicking and throwing stuff, you know, animals upstairs and this and that. And then it just went like that.
Yep.
Mother Nature. And of course, what we're seeing all over the country now, these friggin' tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Because I lost the house in the flood, but I wasn't actually there, but I was in that F4 tornado that came through Nashville. And I was at Hurricane Andrew in Miami.
Oh my
so
God.
All I need is a good quake to round out the...
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, let's
don't
not.
Say that.
And I've been close enough to the fires. I mean, the fires, you know, we live in a concrete jungle. But those fires in Bel Air last year on the...
Put ash on your car, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But, yeah, God bless those folks.
I don't know how they can blame the electrical company for that.
What?
Weren't they blaming Pacific?
Oh no! Yeah, no. The electrical fire that's in Northern California that destroyed 700 homes and how many 40 some people died, then the PG&E gas thing that's out in Granada Hills, which is nice suburb where the Knott's Landing cul-de-sac is, but that's just it's a lovely upper middle class area whatever, and the friggin' PG&E the gas thing. Was leaking for months.
Poisoned
everybody. People are still sick to this day.
The one that blew up in San Bruno and blew up a whole neighborhood. Gas.
Yeah, that's right.
PG&E. Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Let's change the topic to something.
Zombie apocalypse.
That's why we have fun on the Groundhog Lodge.
Yeah, on the Groundhog Lodge. I'm so proud to be a member right now, too. I'll have to come up to York on the 2nd. Do I get to our big
we'll be happy
too?
To have you.
That'd be fun.
You have to get.
You can stay at our house.
I could bring my sister Laurie. She lives in the Goldsboro. You know where that is?
Goldsboro's right. Goldsboro?
My sister lives in Goldsboro. Yeah, you're close, right?
You know how close that is to TMI?
No.
Across the river.
You're kidding. No, my sister Laurie. Yeah, she lived in Stroudsburg.
Oh no, that's not Goldsboro.
No. Listen to me. My one sister, Laurie, lived in Stroudsburg, and then my sister, Deb, and her husband lived in Goldsboro. They had lived in a beautiful... And then my sister, Laurie, moved...
That's Goldsboro up in the Poconos.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the one then.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it was a nice
the
thought.
The one in the Poconos, there's Goldsboro Lake.
That's...
What
family made
Toby
their fortune?
Hanna Lake up that way.
Yeah, but their family, they made their fortune off ice in that area. It's the Carnegies or the somebody family. That's what Goldsboro was, where they would... They cut the ice blocks back when they would take
right,
them in the trucks to
put them in storage and they'd use them all summer. I can remember as a kid I used to live out in Harvey's Lake, the largest natural lake in Pennsylvania is Harvey's Lake. It's in Luzerne County, and I can remember when I was a little kid that the ice man coming, and we had an ice box in my grandmother's place out there on the lake. And they bring the ice in and put it up on the top there. And, of course, it would melt and drip down into these coils and keep everything cool in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And then they have to empty the pan every night or every morning and every night. They would empty that pan of water.
And that's thus where ice picks came from, those big giant things. And those dudes mm-hmm. would have to take them in. And that's why that would have been about when? The late 1800s into the early 1900s? Because I remember my grandmother...
Well,
always calling
1950,
her.
I can remember.
Up until then, really?
1950, they were using it out there in Harvey's Lake. But, that's a rural area.
But, I mean, when that was like a modern convenience, I wonder about what time that was. Stay with us, Nicole.
I
know. Y'all, Nicole, it was nice enough to bring her dad up here because he has a 22-foot truck. But Nicole is sick today. She really is. Otherwise, I know she'd be joining in the conversation. She's not feeling good.
Cold?
She looks good, though.
A little rundown.
I guess
she looks great. Well, you know what? Because all the damn between the wonderful work that you do saving people's teeth and then taking care of those animals and then
taking care of her dad, too.
Oh, her dad. Mm-hmm. And her mom.
Taking
her lovely
restaurants.
Good restaurants. I know. She's a socializer. We had fun we went down for the Grand Prix. And we had that was a really good day, except for the pain of walking. But yeah, that's really fun. I can't wait for next year.
Good.
I worked at it one time, and I got to stand
next
out
year
on the
skates.
on the Ooh. Track and pulled up the time for our car, and the pebbles were hitting me. I'm sorry, somebody's got to do this.
It looks a lot more fun in an Elvis Presley movie, right? Tell us about the Bahamas. Well, you went to Connecticut to see your sister.
First I flew to New York.
Is this your sister that was on the Bob Dean show?
Yes.
What's her name? I forgot.
Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Maybelline.
Yeah. And I went to New York first, and I stayed there for a little bit, and then I went to Connecticut, and then I flew to the Bahamas, then came back and went to Connecticut, and then went to New York again. So it was kind of, but I did a lot of resting.
Well, good. Well, you look terrific.
It wore me out.
Well, you needed to, too, after Kathy was hanging up a picture.
I was hanging a nice
thing in her apartment.
But I was just way up because I have high ceilings, and I fell backwards and landed on my head and my back.
And she was out for 24 hours before anybody found
15,
her.
15, yeah.
15.
And the EMTs were failures in that one, too.
So, yeah, we're glad that you feel better and you look good. And
fractured ribs and a subdural hematoma, and didn't know because somebody just put me in the bed. They didn't take me anywhere. Couldn't walk or anything.
Well, like I said, I said, guess what you missed while you were gone? And you said, what? And we said, nothing.
You know, it's funny.
Nothing, Los Angeles.
It's a good thing she didn't contract ocular rectalitis.
Right.
I have to go get my eyes checked because I don't have the bright vision in this one. I can't, no peripheral.
You don't know what ocular rectalitis is, do you?
In my rectum? I'm kidding.
Well, you're getting
is
close.
That a groundhog thing, something? We just talked about it.
That's when a nerve in your eye... eyeballs collapses. Get crushed with your nerve in your butthole and have a crappy outlook on life. I'm saying that mildly.
My colon, I was told by the doctor, my colon is beautiful. So there.
Ocular rectalitis.
So ocular rectalitis. I'm writing that down. I think I'll use that in my act
it's
tonight.
It's the only thing I haven't got so far.
Ocular rectalitis.
I love it.
Ocular rectalitis.
No, that picture. Oh.
How ocular is it?
Now, okay, getting back to the groundhog thing. Hmm. How, Sir Richard, right? So, somebody.
Poor Richard.
Poor Richard. Why didn't you guys just get another groundhog or initiate?
No one could tell.
Well, I was not the Exalted Hibernator at the time when that happened. I've only been the Exalted Hibernator for probably around 15 years. And I was the Grand Communicator for a while there, too. But I don't know why they never did do it. Their ingenuity was so great, and they really believe that he's in hog heaven. So
well, I'm sure he
why
is.
Not?
Well, you
and
saw
you
know, him.
No two groundhogs are alike.
He told you to go.
11.
Absolutely, you are so right.
And he also told you to go back because it wasn't your time yet.
Yep, he did.
Well, I could just tell you what a pleasure it was growing up when Dad's picture in his white gown and his top hat was on the front page of the newspaper every February 3rd.
You don't have a copy of that anywhere, do you?
I have
everybody
at
would
home.
Say, oh, I saw your dad. Really? Great.
The TV stations would be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it like a kilt? Do you go naked underneath the white?
No.
Okay, but really, people, it's just an excuse for all these guys to get around and drink. But that's what this really is.
Atta boy.
It's just an excuse to drink at 7 a.m.
And it's a robe, not a gown.
There you go.
That's great.
I can see he's using his koozie already.
Huh? Oh, hell yeah. I love it. And see, now listen, because I'm not going to use this for anything else except on my shelf of memories.
I'm bringing a groundhog.
Which, seriously, I mean, you know, in my apartment, I don't know if you remember or not, but I've got a ton of stuff up there from Nicole. And it's little special things like this that I put.
Which reminds me, your Christmas gift that I keep forgetting to give
what
you.
What is it?
Something for your shelf.
I got a rake this year.
Nicole, you are the most thoughtful girl ever. You really are. I miss you living downstairs. Although, finally, there's a young girl named Kayla. Kayla, I know you're not listening because you're. But it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Kayla!
Happy birthday,
she
Kayla.
Moved in downstairs. She's young and she's pretty and she's sassy, and she's from Laguna. And but she's a really cool neighbor. You know, we talk,
she's
we speak.
Awesome.
We, you know, we're not each other's business. The other four are still fucking nuts. But she's real cool, and it's nice to know that somebody is carrying on your super cool hiatus. Yay! It's Elvira.
Oh my god, how cute is that?
Pocket Pop Keychain. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson, one of my all-time favorites.
Awesome.
Thank you, Nicole. Yay! It's going to go on my shelf. Yeah. We need bigger shelves. You need to come down sometime. You and Ben need to come up. We're going to try and come down on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Yep. You can see this RV.
Well, because Long Beach is the place to be. When Nicole and Ben were living over in Fox Hills, you had that beautiful place that was friggin', you know how they talk about mold? I'm telling you, that's got something to do with you. Because you guys, that apartment was absolutely spotless and gorgeous and magnificently decorated. And it was. And then, of course, you step right outside and there was a pool. Which,
yes.
What? You want to say it? I love it. Thank you. And but you found out you had mold. And I'll never forget because I had been over there many, many times, but I, you know, didn't have any cause to go back into the master bedroom, and that you guys had to be out quick. And
7 days.
Seven days
once we finally got the state involved.
And how did you
involved.
And you what it was is you're such a girl. You're so meticulous about your lady, you know, your winter garments. And wasn't it you went into because you keep all your winter clothes and everything you kept in the guest room closet, right? Mm-hmm. And this was so weird. She's got this what do you call it? A curio cabinet, and she collects Smurfs. And you must have what, 300?
Probably.
It was like that Stephen King movie. And of course, it was in a room that you didn't go in and out of all the time. And the mold was growing on. It was awful. And you discovered it when on your shoes, right? And that's when
my shoes, my leather jackets.
I mean, everything.
But, on the walls. And the landlord just kept saying, oh, we'll just clean it with bleach. And he wouldn't do anything. And eventually we had to call the state. And they came in and condemned the place. And they said,
Did you lose all your furniture and stuff? Because usually they won't even let you take it.
No, I think we cleaned everything. But we had to find a place in 7 days. And we end up in Long Beach.
And I remember you were like, you were so pissed.
I was in tears.
Because you had, four cats and a dog at the time, right?
We only had Foxy.
Is this the place over at Schlossen?
Yeah.
And Lucy and the boys at the time. We would have had the three cats and
but
Foxy.
You did not. You were like, the only place we can find is in friggin', you were like, friggin' Long Beach. I don't want to live in friggin' Long Beach.
I was like, I thought it was the ghetto. I had the whole perception of the old time Long Beach and everything. Mm-hmm.
And it is a place, you lucked out. It is a place to be now. And you got, you are so close to all the action and
I love it. I will live nowhere else because I had no clue. I was like, 7 blocks from the water when we left.
You know, I got to tell you this one more thing
about
your old place, though, about the mold, because it's serious stuff, is when you were packing, and I came over to help you guys, and like I said, I had no cause to go back into the master bedroom or whatever, but I walked in, and you were folding stuff and putting it on the bed, and it was like a brick hit me in the face. I'm like, God, you can smell it. And I mean, you guys had probably just become accustomed to it. Like, if you walked into our place now, it'd be total halitosis with cats and that sort of thing. But it smells
funny. My girlfriend was exposed to it. She got, she took this Epsom salt, and blisters came out of her because she'd absorbed so much of it over the years. So it's good that you got
it. It was a horrible situation, but it led you to a great place. And you got married by what's the mayor's name?
Robert Garcia.
Robert Garcia. He's a really cool guy, but he's got a total Superman fetish.
He does.
He really does. But Nicole and Ben got married, and I was proud to be a witness. And it was Asia,
April
Zach, and Asia, and Anil, and who was the other sweet girl? What's her name?
Melody.
And
David.
David. How's and David? Are you doing good?
We can't get a contact with him.
Really?
It's been really strange. We've been trying for like a year.
No kidding.
Nothing.
He just popped out of sight. No, Aaron Brothers connection or anything?
Well, no, they're gone.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. You know, Len Aaron passed away too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you can find him.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nicole, Long Beach is a place to be. She got married. He's got this Superman fetish, meaning that all over his office, Nicole thought it would be a cool idea to be married by the mayor, and it totally was. Wasn't it the first ceremony he ever performed to?
It wasn't the first one, but we were the first one to get the official certificate from the city.
From the city? Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got all these posters and everything, like of Superman and everywhere, because he kind of looks like him. You know, he's a good looking man. But I was like going, oh, Nicole, what's up with this? Okay, we're running out of time. We're going to play a couple of rounds of Just Say well, Dennis is going to introduce it. Everybody be quiet because this is my favorite part when Dennis introduces the show, and then I'll tell you what it's all about.
Just jump.
Now, what we have is Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Etiquette Guide. And Mr. Olson picks a couple questions, reads them to the panel, and we have to collectively try and come up with the right answer. Now, remember, this is etiquette from 1957. Okay?
What is correct? The American way of holding the fork in the right hand or the continental custom of holding it in the left?
Well, in the right, on the right.
I think it depends on if you're right-handed or left-handed.
I mean, I like to do it, you know, knife in the right and fork upside down in the left. I mean, I you know, because this whole thing of cutting it and putting down the knife and then picking it up, you know.
Now, my English husband's going to tell you it's the left because he always says I eat incorrectly.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the left.
Either is correct. But a combination of the two systems is now often seen and is quite acceptable.
Wow.
Even when one uses the American zigzag method, whatever that is.
I go both ways.
Right. Yeah. It is sensible to convey cut food to the mouth with the fork in the left hand with the tines of the fork down.
Well, right. That's the thing. That's how I like it.
Yes.
Okay, that's acceptable.
The way everyone does it. That I've ever really seen.
Well, no. I mean, I was taught, you know, you fork in the right, knife in the left, you cut, then you put the knife over the left side of the plate, you put the knife down, right? And then you eat with the fork.
Either way, I still can't, cut a piece of meat without it flying off my plate.
Hello.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Me too. Just like your dad said, your mom's going to be so happy that you finally made it through without staining something, and that's everything right here. It never failed. Okay, next question.
When guests are leaving, is it correct for the host or hostess to open the door for them, or should the host or hostess allow the guests to open the door themselves?
A host opens the door. What do you think?
I think you agree.
I would say the host opens the door.
I'm usually pushing them out with stairs.
Considering the last 3 years, to 2 years, you've been the last one to leave the happy birthday.
I think you have to frisk them before they leave, don't you?
Yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely.
You must be sure to let the guests make the first move toward going home.
Oh.
Then, so once they have taken the step, you may indeed lead them to the door and open it for them.
That makes sense.
So you can't kick anybody out.
You can fake your own death.
Lord.
A mistake.
I was just thinking about that horrible incident 2 years ago on Christmas Eve. No names mentioned, but that incident with the certain person. And somebody was so insulting to Nicole and some other guests. This person, who really is a lovely person until this person has too much to drink. Well, yeah, and anyway, but this person was so offensive, and Nicole she's dragging Ben out the front door because she was so furious that she thought she was going to slap the bitch, okay? And I was coming up the stairs outside, and, you know, the bar's outside, so there's lots of people outside and all that. Nicole comes dragging Ben out the front door, and you're coming down the stairs, and you're like, we're leaving now. And I heard there were a bunch of dudes up top, and some guy goes, somebody's husband always fucks up first, and they all started laughing because they thought that he had done something to piss you off.
Damn. I was defending him this time.
Yes.
Yeah, I was angry.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, this particular person, who, I like I said, I care about this person very much, but they can be a little self-absorbed sometimes. And this person started up at the beginning of the party, and I stopped, and there were enough people there, and I go, listen, this is not about you. Just settle down. And that person did, and they were one of the last ones to leave. Anyway, next question, please.
Someone told me that it is not good taste to get married on Sunday. If it isn't, why isn't it?
Because it's the Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day. Unless you're Jewish, but...
If you're Jewish, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
I think because most places are closed.
Not anymore. Or not in this town.
Well, it used to be.
Used to be.
When she wrote that book, they were.
Really. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
I thought you could get married on Sunday.
Ministers tell me that it is less customary for people to be married on their own Sabbath because the clergymen are fully occupied on that day and the church is being used for religious services.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Too busy.
Not to mention the Boy Scouts division of the church.
Does it say that?
Well, no. We still have baptisms on Sunday. So, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, we have time for one more question. Thank you, Ms. Junio. Who, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're Facebook friends with Sam Junio or Instagram, you need to see that picture she posted of sitting in her beautiful mother's lap. She's this tiny little adorable Aww. Little thing with a big bow in her hair. It's so cute. Okay, Dennis. Yeah. It is. Thanks, Sam.
And I copied them and have them in my phone. If you have my, yeah, I'll send them to you.
Send them to me.
Okay, well, my fiance's wish is to wear his uniform at the wedding. He is in the Army. I would like to know what the best man and the groom's father should wear. It will be a morning wedding, and I will be wearing a semi-formal gown.
Okay, wait, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Repeat that question, please, sir.
My fiance's wish is to wear his uniform at the wedding. Mm-hmm. He is in the Army. I would like to know what the best man and the groom's father should wear. It will be a morning wedding, and I will be wearing a semi-formal gown.
What does it matter what they wear?
Yeah.
Well,
suits.
He's going to wear, you know, his dress uniform.
Yeah.
So if it's, but and it's going
to
be.
Yeah, but he's the fiance, so he should get to wear what he wants, especially.
No,
if he's
that's
military.
What I'm saying.
Are they military?
Groom,
they're not. She's, no, they're just the.
She's
the,
asking
the
about the bride's father and the groomsman or the right. best man. So
the
they
best
could.
Best man and the groom's father.
Right. So if it, she said it's a morning wedding, that's suit. A nice suit. If it's an evening or afternoon wedding, they could wear, you know, if it's formal, tuxedo, you know, but well, they would wear a tux and the groom would wear his uniform.
Yeah.
Wow. The best man and the groom's father should wear dark business suits, white shirts, conservative ties, dark socks, black shoes.
Well, yeah. That's what I would wear.
I'm not saying that.
And a thong, did you say? Are you texting during my Bob Dean show? That's a big no-no.
Oh, man.
Unless somebody's in the hospital or the house is on fire, you turn that phone. Well, it's too late.
I have to tell my friend back home where I'm doing right now.
Well, tell him to get on Facebook and watch us live.
I'm not sure if he's on Facebook. He's old like me.
Okay. Well, no, you'll be able to watch it on YouTube this afternoon. Too, right, Sam?
Works
this evening.
Live now.
All right. Well, we have to read. This is episode 74 of the Bob Dean Show. Yay! Next week, I can remember that Mindy Rickles will be with us, a local comedian and bon vivant around town. And we're looking forward to that. Kathy's back. Dennis, thank you. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you very much, my special guest, John Fedor, because now I am a slumbering groundhog member.
Yep.
And my first friend in Los Angeles, Nicole Fedor Summerfield. I love you so much.
Nicole.
And best to your husband, Ben, and your mom, Marianne, and the kids and cats and kittens and everybody.
Thank you.
I won't even bother telling us our phone number because nobody calls us anyway.
Well, you know, I got to figure out how we do that. You tell me after the show.
323 what? No.
Because I'm going to start doing promoting
323-300-4092.
Call us at 323-300-4092. That's the line to the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay. Yay.
It's not a live call-in line. I wish at some point maybe we'll be able to do that. I'm sure we will someday. Where are you going? Oh, picture time. But right now, that is for questions, comments, or anything like that. Please call and let us know. And that's all. Thank you very much. Bye. Say bye.